download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We shift gears, and from here we join. We are joined in studio by Washington lobbyist, gentleman that we've had on the show previously, Mr. Michael Jones, who is from the Capital Group. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus.
It's being difficult,
as always.
We have Mr. Jones here. We wanted to kind of touch upon this situation that we've been seeing percolating down in Washington in regards to the recent report that came out that was done regarding prisoners and how information was conceived from prisoners who were in our care, torture, if you may.
Yes.
And so we thought we would kind of have a stimulating conversation about that. I believe that you have a gentleman who is going to join us at some particular time during this conversation, Mr. James Fees, who has been on this. He was on with us previously, and we have talked with him in regards to, you know, the stuff that goes on. He is a former CIA agent.
He's more than just that. He's a bureau chief. He was in charge of the Middle East, North Africa unit.
That's not here in my notes. That's why I kind of set it up like that. The idea was for you to kind of fill in the
he's
the
a
blanks.
Mentor of mine. He's in his 80s. He's a great patriot. He's done an awful lot for this country.
But his purpose will be to talk about, he'll give his input on this report that was recently released.
Yes, and his background is, of course, deep in the Middle East, and spent most of his career there, and understanding what we need to do to get information out of some folks out there. So,
anybody here want to kind of weigh in on their thoughts on this situation? Because it seems as though it was a report that was done on the previous administration and their efforts of handling prisoners and extracting information from them in order to protect us from another event like 9/11.
Yeah, I think, Joe? Well, I think, you know, a lot of people have lost sight of exactly what the torture was used for. I think a lot of people will say, you know, the report clearly says in it that torture did not lead to the killing or capture or whatever the end result was going to be of Osama bin Laden. It happened to be to end his life. But that's not the end game. That's a great benefit for getting the information that we got, was to, and the reason for going over there was to kill Osama bin Laden, sure. But the information that we got,
I think it was more than that.
Well, the information that we're continuing to get from whatever tactics that we're currently using that we may not, and may or may not be torture, that we don't know about that's going on right now, is stopping hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of subsequent attacks that could have happened since September 11th. I mean, we have intelligence for a reason, whichever way we get it. And I think that people are losing sight. The people that are out there screaming, oh, you know, don't, no torture, no torture, no torture, could very well be in the middle of a car bomb attack had that torture not had occurred. And I think that that's what we lose sight of. And I know it's very cliche, but I don't think it's inappropriate at all to say that the people that jumped from those buildings, you know, what do you consider that? I believe that that was the worst torture that any human being can go through that day in general, and what all of us saw. I don't think while they're cutting heads off, we should be afraid to drop some water on theirs.
Joe, how do you feel about it, Mr. Jones? And what do you hear? I mean, you're a guy who's down in Washington a lot of times. Is this a conversation that is popping up that you hear while you're in various circles?
Not really.
No?
No. I think that our tactics have saved a lot of American lives. And I disagree with the president and closing Gitmo. And I believe that we need to have a process of rooting out folks who are dedicated to attacking Americans. When the Twin Towers tumbled to earth and brave Americans flew a plane into a field in Pennsylvania so it wouldn't be used to take out our nation's capital. And when the enemy hit the Pentagon, which is the very symbol,
let's not forget that,
of American strength and military might around the world changed forever, and our tactics need to change. And we saw just recently the cyber attacks and all of these other things. We have to be vigilant.
What I will do, because we haven't heard from our guests yet, so why don't we do this? We'll open the phone lines until our guest calls in. If somebody wants to call and give their 2 cents, not somebody who wants to, you know, we don't want somebody who's going to drag out the show with their. Just call in, give your thoughts on it, whether you're for or against torturing prisoners and extracting information from them to protect our country. 781-837-4900 is the number if you want to weigh in on the subject as we talk about it here up until 7:30. Again, 781-837-4900. I guess I would ask. So we're not losing you, are we, Mike?
No.
Okay, so make sure you're not just kind of stepping away on me here. I guess I want to know, has anybody heard anything on the other side? Because I've heard people who have said that we wouldn't want our soldiers to go through such a thing.
Sure. I think that's something to definitely consider. But, you know, I guess it is what we don't want to lose sight of is that, you know, they have flown planes into buildings of the innocent, and I realize that Americans have not always done things, you know, overseas correctly, but our intentions were always the end result was always meant to be positive.
Okay.
And theirs weren't.
Bob from Quincy is on the line. Bob, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you guys doing?
I'm pretty good. What's your thought on the situation?
Well, my thought is this. First of all, you're calling waterboarding torture, and it's not torture. Mm. Torture is something when you rip people's fingernails out, cut their arms off, that kind of stuff is torture. Waterboarding, you can't die from. You walk away from it. It's very painful. The information that they did get from those prisoners occurred after they had waterboarded them and threatened to do it a second time. And what happened is, They didn't want to go through it a second time.
Right.
So waterboarding to me is not torture. It's a means of extracting information from people that you know you need it from. Well, and I do agree that they got a gleaned of tons of information from all of those people that they have done that. And as far as Gitmo, they better keep Gitmo open because that's the only safe place we have to put these people. I don't want them in my country. And I don't think they belong here. And that's just my opinion.
I totally agree. I actually believe that was going to be my next comment, is the fact that we're calling it torture when really that's not exactly what it was.
Is it an exaggerated premise, though? Is it to make it more of something than it really is?
Well, I think that's the situation. And as
hello, Bob? Okay. Sorry, so we lot Bob? Somehow you get disconnected. Please call back in and finish your thought. 781-837-4900.
I think it was a great thought, though. I mean, I think
it was
you're
an
right.
Excellent
we call it torture. I think torture is something that is a lot more severe than what we ever did to them. I mean, playing loud music, obnoxious music, waterboarding, that's all information gathering. Torturing would be to take, you know, electronic probes and shock someone to death or cut off a finger if they don't give us the right answer.
Why would no matter what administration, why would such a report be released? What's your thought, Mike? Why release such a report?
I think it's irresponsible. I think it gives away our tactics. And we have to be a little bit more responsible about that with how we're trying to obtain information about people who are trying to kill our citizens.
See, I see it as maybe there should be some. I mean, we're fighting an unconventional war. We're not fighting a conventional war at this particular time. It's not like our country versus Russia, where there are certain parameters that are set. You know, you don't use certain chemicals. There are treaties that are brokered that you're not allowed to do certain things. There's certain things that are not allowed. I mean, how many movies have we seen? And who? And I know it's Hollywood, and that they have a way of adding certain elements in that just kind of spices it up. But, I mean, Deer Hunter, look at movies where you saw certain amounts of torture in order to punish prisoners and stuff that I'm sure that if we were to speak to somebody who was a prisoner of war, they might have a story as to what took place while they were in a prisoner camp. And what's not to say that we didn't do the same thing? It's just something that happens in war. But would we want our soldiers to be mistreated?
They already are. I mean, think about what's going on over in Iraq right now. Luckily, we haven't seen an American soldier get taken yet by ISIS. But God forbid they get a hand on an American soldier.
Yeah, we've seen citizens, we've seen journalists.
Well, they're cutting off American heads, waterboarding.
Exactly. I mean. And so what's to say that they get a hold of a group of five or six American soldiers, the same thing won't happen? I think that's what we're losing. Yeah, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it won't. It's definitely going to. They've set a precedent. And we also forget that there is a silent genocide going on over in Iraq right now. A silent one. We're not talking about it, which is a shame from all standpoints of the media, that that ISIS is destroying, killing mass amounts of people, no matter what the race or religion is. Okay. And it needs to be stopped.
We have our guest on the line, Mr. James Fees. Mr. Fees, how are you, sir?
Yes, right. Fine. Jim, call me Jim Fees.
All right. Jim, how are you? Of course, we have Mr. Jones, who's sitting here in studio as well, my co-host, Joe Rossi, and I'm, of course, Kevin. We're talking about the subject is the recent report in regards to our handling of prisoners in regards to trying to extract information from them. Give me your thoughts on this recent report that was released.
Well, you're talking about... Well, I just want to make a couple general points on the whole subject of CIA rendition and torture, right?
Yep.
Americans have a basic problem, and they've had it for decades. They, on one hand, call themselves a nation of laws, and at other times, under certain pressures or when the situation changes, they start acting like a church, preaching morals to every nation in the world and condemning their sinners for internal political reasons, like the Democratic Party did in the Senate recently. So this is always, I've seen it in all the years I worked in intelligence and after I left intelligence, and it's like, for instance, an example is on 9/11, in the first minutes, hours, and days after 9/11, everybody in America wanted to kill every terrorist, every Al-Qaeda person we could get our hands on.
Correct.
Anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now, 14 or 15 years later, some of the more liberal people feel they don't really want it on their conscience that we ordered our people, soldiers and CIA soldiers, working clandestinely to go out and do a lot of otherwise illegal things. And this is really one problem that I think CIA has to always deal with in America. Secondly, one of the things that our adult citizens should realize, and I'm not sure they all do because of the complexities, CIA is an organization of the United States government that is deliberately established to run secret illegal operations abroad. Under secret illegal operations abroad. So if, for instance, we kidnap a terrorist in the streets of Rome, as happens, and take him to some secret place to interrogate him, that is illegal in Rome, and in fact, the Italians have court cases going against some of the CIA people who were involved.
Mm.
But that's one of the things that CIA people have to do abroad. When you're operating abroad in clandestine operations, you may be allowed in the country legally, but you're also doing things secretly, and that's illegal. So this is an organization, CIA is an organization. Yes, it's made to get, it's established to get intelligence, but in the clandestine service, it's established to get clandestine intelligence secretly. So it has to do it. It has to illegally recruit agents, even in terrorist organizations or in the government or in the police, et cetera, to get the terrorist information. And I don't think Americans realize that CIA people are put in the under the stress, a real life stress they work with every day of leading a double life. They say, well, agents, secret agents lead a double life. Well, so do CIA people abroad. They're pretending to be a consular officer, as I was once, doing all the consular work, and at the same time running secret operations to penetrate the local government. So this is something, and this comes out when you have these claims, as we've had recently in the Senate, that where people are claiming that we're a rogue organization. CIA is, I mean, I'm out of the CIA now, but CIA is not a rogue organization. They are requested by our presidents right. to do rogue things. They exist.
Would you say, Jim, rogue things or do the dirty work that needs to be done to get information?
To do the dirty work. We're not rogue. It appears other people as rogue because no president is going to come out and announce. I've just, as the Kennedy brothers did, they were angry at us because we didn't kill Castro. We couldn't get Castro killed. Bobby Kennedy, the great liberal, was furious with CIA because of that. So the real story never comes truly out to the public because in secret operations it's not supposed to, and it usually doesn't.
I guess I would ask you, it's not a secret that I would think that most well-organized countries, depending on what their philosophy is, usually has an agency like the CIA that does stuff like that. That there are, those agencies that pitted against other agencies doing the same thing that the CIA is doing.
Right, exactly. You have the British do it, the French do it, the Russians do it, the Chinese do it.
Right.
All the major countries do it, yes.
I'm hogging the microphone. Do you gentlemen have anything we have a great guest who's on. I mean, anything that you want to ask in regards to this situation and how this was put forth? Because I think while I may not approve of seeing someone get hurt, if it's going to save lives, you got to do what you have to do.
Well, I mean,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, hasn't tactics, well, we won't call them torture, but the tactics they're calling torture, haven't things like that been done for years and years and years, even before September 11th?
Well, it wasn't really done in CIA very much, no. I'm sure it was done a few times, probably during the Vietnam War.
Mm.
But it was not. I was in charge of the whole Middle East at one point, operations in Washington. And I know we never did it in those days. But it wasn't really necessary under the things we did. First of all, we had better penetration operations in those days. We had penetrated. I myself recruited a terrorist chief of all terrorists for one nation and ran him as an agent. And to show you how I met him in a neighboring country of his, and every time I went to that meeting secretly with him, I knew I was subject to him having a gang tie me up and take me home as a trophy.
Wow.
So that's how much, and I had many meetings with him, and he knew everything they were doing. He wasn't an active terrorist. He was in the government and in charge of their terrorists. But I knew by going to this third country and meeting him in a secret luxury hotel on a beach that I could, one of those meetings, he could just say, oh, by the way, I'm taking you back as a trophy CIA officer and you're going to be killed. So this is what we have to live through. Now, one of the things I think that might be considered, although I'm sure Senator McCain would be against it because he's got this gentleman soldier approach to prisoners and things, which is something out of they teach it, you know, at all military institutions in the world, I'm sure. All major countries sign up agreements for reciprocity of dealing with prisoners, right?
Yep.
It's a reciprocal system. So the Germans, the French, the Japanese, everybody signs it. And most of them abide by it. Even the Germans are pretty good about handling prisoners during the Second World War. The Japanese weren't. They completely ran it practically as bad as the terrorists do. But most countries do that reciprocally. However, how can we have a reciprocal, why are we abiding by a reciprocal arrangement with modern, or when we deal with terrorists or groups like ISIS, which totally abhor any type of deal like that?
Right, it's not conventional.
They're going to do what they want to do with every person. They're going to chop off our heads, rape our women, and rape our young children, and do what they want. And we're supposed to deal with them like they're gentlemen, like they're officers and gentlemen? Come on, this is absolutely obnoxious and unreasonable. We should be free. I think we should legislate. Congress should legislate that in case of dealing with terrorists and people like ISIS who don't abide by any international agreements, that we will deal with them as we have to accomplish whatever the requirement is.
Again, we're speaking with the...
Because otherwise, how can we ask our officers, as we've done, in after 9/11, to go out and do all these things? And Dick Cheney came out recently and said he and the president ordered it. Then it never happened until they gave the final order. And then our officers who went out and did these dangerous things, they're now 14 years later... being asked to, or 13, 14, 15 years later, to, weren't they really criminals by our own officers of government, the senators?
Okay, we're speaking with Mr. Jim Fees, who was a ranking officer in the CIA, ranking individual in the CIA. We have Michael Jones. We just got a couple of minutes left, Jim. Anything you want to say in closing in regards to this situation and what you see or right. fear moving forward after since this report has been released?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I guess what I'm asking you is anything you want to say in closing in regards to this report? Do you have any fears or any thoughts on this report moving forward about torturing?
I think it will have a very heavy effect on officers who... I personally can tell you that I was one of the, I'm not bragging, I was one of the top three or four operators abroad.
Mm.
And I resigned at the top of it and shocked the whole organization that I left. But I never complained about anything. But I resigned because it was back in the late 70s when we were recovering from a previous senator who was a senator from Idaho, I can't recall his name, who had been tearing the CIA apart for several years. And it got to the point where this was having such an effect on our management back in Washington about covering our ass and everything so we wouldn't have any flaps, that overseas they were not allowing us to do anything that had the slightest risk to it. Well, you're in the business of risk when you're in the CIA. And we were stopped from even recruiting easy recruitment, very easy recruitment, where the blowback was very minimal, even if it blew back.
Right.
And I finally decided, you know, I'd rather, it's kind of like being a Formula One driver, you know. If you're not allowed to win the race, then maybe you better get a different job if you're going to risk your life. So I was very senior. I had an offer to from several people, come on, leave the government, let's go into business, things like that. So I decided to go. And I would have loved to have stayed, but I could see the agency was going into a downturn. And I knew, and that's going to affect the other officers like that, and usually it's the really good guys that will leave.
Right.
Because they can go do a lot of things.
Well, Jim, we gotta wrap this segment, but I want to thank you for being a valuable resource, and we'd love to have you back on in the near future to talk more about policies like this.
Oh, fine. Anyway, I enjoy talking to you.
You got it.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you, Mr. Jones, for being a part of this segment. Anything you want to say quickly at closing?
I just want to tell you, Jim Fees is one of the great American heroes, and the country appreciates his leadership and what he's done for us.
And we appreciate you being here as well, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, we'll step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.